Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. You can play Pick'em, pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower total in each stat for this week's games for a chance to win big. You can actually win up to 100 times your money in a single night. That's right. I didn't say 10. I didn't say 20. Up to 100 times your money. Pick between 2 and 5 players. Build a Pick'em entry. My favorite feature, you can make rivals picks. Hit 2 players against each other. Wembanyama versus Nikola Jokic. Tim Hardaway Jr. versus Norm Powell. Kawhi Leonard versus Steph Curry. Who knows? Maybe Grayson Allen versus Pat Connaughton. You get where I'm going with that. You can do it all with Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you sign up today with the promo code DING. That's D-I-N-G. And get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant Pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our promo code DING, D-I-N-G, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant Pick'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Yo, yo, listen, man, we back again. This Wednesday is Rap Names Day. You know the voice, you know the hairline, you know it's Mari, man. You know what I'm saying? With my guy and all that, Jer, what's going on, man? We out here. We back again.
You know, another day, another dollar, brother. We outside and beating the heat. Pause.
Yeah, listen. Oh, man, this guy, man. Definitely outside, but outside meaning like in a very inside kind of way, though. You know what I mean? Like, we're not outside and getting mixy, getting too mixy, but you know, we out here, we're active, we're visible. You know what I'm saying?
I put my toes in the sand this weekend.
Hey, that's all you need. That's all you really need to let you know you was outside. You know what I mean? You might be a little bit, you know, might attract some of that in the crib. And you're like, yeah, that's from outside. I'm gonna clean it up.
Yeah.
I was just out there, you know. But yeah, man, with them being outside, man, I've been listening to, you know, and I won't front. I was inspired by the point guard, the NYC point guard doc, to just listen to Mad Queen shit. So I went back and listened to Mobb Deep, The Infamous. Man, listen. That's one of those albums that no matter what year you turn this album on, it's gonna be one of them. You know what I'm saying? Like it's a flawless album. Like it's one of the best albums of all time, like legitimately. I don't even want to go down where it was ranked at on that list that we talked about. But yeah, it's one of them. You know what I mean? I was listening to that. You know, I went back and listened to some old Hov, of course. You know, you got to spend a block on Hov's catalog at least, you know, it's every now and then just to kind of remind yourself a little bit, man. And then, I mean, outside of that, I was just winning like my mixtape back. So I'm listening to a bunch of old stuff, you know, a bunch of old Cam, some Jim, the Fabulous shit, that There's No Competition, and, you know, just little shit like that, you know, just got back in that way. Shout out to Dat Piff again. You know, we support Dat Piff over here. And yeah, I mean that's kind of what my week been looking like music wise, man. Just a lot of grimy rap and, you know, shit like that.
So for me, I was very much it was a nostalgic kind of week for me, based off of, you know, when you see clips from certain people on the internet, you know what I mean, makes you go back and listen to their project, and that just takes you down a rabbit hole. First and foremost, I definitely want to make it clear that the Purple Tape turned 27, and I definitely gave that a spun a couple times this week. You know what I mean? Can't let that day go by without, you know what I mean, giving that joint a spin. So was definitely so that, you know, that takes me into my whole little woo bag, and then, you know, a little ghost face gets mixed in. And then at the same time with Harlem World's very own MA Dollar Sign E trending.
We're gonna talk about that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I definitely gave you know, Harlem World a tough listen, and I mean that's an amazing fucking album. So you see what I was on. You know, Hov definitely got in the mix on the strength of Harlem World and having to, live certain things. You know what I mean, and so forth and so forth.
Yeah, I mean. That's usually how I go, and it's funny you say that too, because one of the tapes that I listened to is something I talked about on here before. Shout out to my man Chubbs. My man Chubbs texted me and was like, "Yo, bro, I've been looking for this tape because, like, you know, we love this tape, but I kept typing it in the way you said it, and you were saying it, and I'm like, bro, my bad. I kept saying it's 25 years of hate. It's called 10 years of hate. I've always made that mistake and called the tape 25 years of hate for some reason, but I played that tape as well, just because, like you said, Mace." It's back out here in the news, you know what I mean? For some good, some bad, some indifferent, whatever. Like I said, we'll get to that. But first, what I wanted to talk about is a funny moment. It's a funny moment, and I don't mean weird funny. I mean like just a funny moment between Jim Jones and Mano, who are, you know, these guys are great friends now, like incredible friends now. But there was a time when they were like, seriously, it was like kind of bubbling on both sides, and some people who, you know, where mutuals had to step in and squash this shit. You know, Jim talked about this on Mano's pod a while back. And he basically was like, when I saw you, I was like, man, who is this nigga? Like, who is he? Why is he running around acting like that? Like, who, you know what I'm saying? I'm out here getting busy. Like, who is, you know, whatever. But everybody kept telling Jim, like, nah, Mano is somebody. And Mano said he had the same kind of feelings about him. But Jim admitted he was hating on Mano around the time that High Hater dropped. He said he was the hater that Mano was waving high to, because he was like, bro, they let this nigga in the game? Like, come on, dog. You know what I mean? That was that, like, the height of their, you know, he looking at a nigga like that. And now he got one. He got a hit that's on the radio. You can't deny it. The video is spinning all day. You can't deny it. And it just made me think about how many records we hear from rappers that are just, like, cool records to hear on the radio. But then you look at the industry, and you like, damn, I wonder why niggas ain't posting this shit, or I wonder why people ain't supporting. And it's like, because that song might be some shit that's aimed directly at a few, you know, a few of these dudes that's out here active, and a lot of niggas might feel away. Because on the surface, it looked like to us, you should support a dope artist that has a dope song. But to them, it's all type of shit going on. Like, I just thought that was a funny moment for him to say that. Like, yo, I was hating on that nigga.
I mean, shout out to Capo for keeping it, I guess, real. And hating is something that runs rapid in the hip hop community. It's something that we need to stop. We need to really get ahead of this thing called hating, because hating it's very detrimental to one's health. It's detrimental to one's just well-being. You know, we've had numerous songs in our lifetime come out trying to educate people on not hating, but yet this epidemic called hating just lasts, man. You know, we've been in a hating pandemic that I can think of my entire life. Yeah. You know,
ain't no vaccine for this either, because even rich niggas be haters. So
yeah, and I won't sit up here, and I have all the respect in the world for Mano. I won't sit up here and say one ill will thing about that man, because you know I'm just a square and I'm just chilling. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't the biggest fan of Mano's rap. Not really, but I can recognize when someone has a catchy song that you know people like hearing. And you know, one thing about us and hip hop is, you know, if you got a dope hook, you know what I mean? You at least got a chance. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, you know, hopefully the kids out there that are listening to this, that are of age, because we do a lot of swearing on here. But, you know, hopefully those individuals out there that are listening, man, they learn from Capo and realize, hey, man, hating is not cool, man. It's just not cool. Yeah. Don't hate on anybody. You know, just let everybody eat. And you know, it's enough out here for everybody. You just gotta find your lane. So shout out to Capo for keeping it real. But you know, let's stop hating everybody.
No, 100%. I approve that message 100%. You know, and I think most of the time when niggas be hating on each other, or one side is hating on the other side, it's usually because they haven't had a conversation yet. Because it's like there's something there, there's an energy there that's drawing you to them, because there's a million other people. Why are you so focused on what's going on over here? Something going on. They just haven't had a conversation, you know, and then they kind of like talked about that when they had their conversation on air on the pod. And he was just like, yo, once we met, we was like, oh, shit. Like, oh, all right, cool. And then from there, it's been, you know, been love. So, yeah, I thought it was just a funny little, you know, little incident where he like, nah, I definitely was one of them niggas he was waving at. So shout out to Jim and Mano, you know what I'm saying? The lobby boys and all that. So Jerv, I sent you this tweet about an album that Amin clearly is like, nah, I ain't going for this. I'm not with it. I saw his comments on it in the group chat. You know, a lot of y'all ain't privy to the group chat, but I mean, this is what's going on, right? Sent the tweet. And basically it was like, yo, he says, hi, my name is Eddie, and this is a great album. And he says, I don't care, like four times. And he's talking about Magna Carta, Holy Grail. So I want to have this conversation with you about Magna Carta, Holy Grail, right? This is 2013. This is what? 4 years after we get a solo Jay-Z album, and then 2 years after we get Watch the Throne, right? So this is the first time we're hearing a solo Jay-Z album in a handful of years. Number one, do you think it's a great album?
I think great is a strong word to use. I do not think it's a great album. I think it's a solid project.
Okay. I'll take that.
Anyone that has, and you know, this is for our, you know, OG listeners from back in the days when Amin and I used to fucking do the show in the basement of Building 4 at ESPN. You know, we would have certain things in our cup. We wouldn't judge you what was in your cup. You know what I'm saying? And we would have a spirited debate quite often about this particular album. And I agree. Outside of the word great, I agree with what said person put in tweet. I think that this album drops around the time where It's a new wave in hip hop. And you got Hov's bar was Old Man Just Stop. And he was like, I can't, I'm hot, right? That was his bar in off of Kingdom Come album, right?
Yeah.
So this is around that part where everyone's like, yo, he's old, he needs to, you know, whatever, whatever. And Hov's trying to find himself again. He's trying to find what lane he needs to go down. But I find it really hard to believe that this is a trash album when there's a lot of bangers on here. There's a lot of songs that come on and you fool with. Do you like the whole project as a, but you know, no, it's not a classic album or anything like that. But this dude is not being judged against other albums, he's being judged against his own project.
Yeah, that's it.
It's and that's where I think Magna Carta gets slapped in the face because you know it's not getting judged at what was out at that time, it's getting judged against his own catalog. And yes, it's probably the weakest or second weakest album out of his entire catalog, but that's like saying, yo, you the 50th greatest Los Angeles Laker or New York Yankee of all time when there's a million people that have played for this franchise.
Yeah.
Damn. I mean, off the top of my head, I could be forgetting an album, but I feel like it's probably the second.
You have Kingdom Come as his weakest, right? Or no?
I have Kingdom Come as.
Because that's what I was basing this on.
Is Kingdom like, Come would Kingdom Come would be his weakest, I guess.
Okay.
I mean, then, his weakest projects would be Kingdom Come, Magna Carta, Holy Grail, and then probably Blueprint
3, right?
3, yeah.
Oh, Blueprint 3.
No, 2. I would say 2. I actually like Blueprint 3. I think Blueprint 3 was dope. I think Blueprint 2 is because he tried the double disc and he had a lot of fillers on there or whatever.
Yeah,
but then when he busted down and gave you Blueprint 2.1, it kind of boosted Blueprint 2 up. So, you know, whatever. If you want to say, I'll say his two weakest projects are Magna Carta.
But this is in the bottom. Okay, yeah, I got you. That's what I was trying to base it on, was like where you had Kingdom Come rated. I'm not someone who's ever thought that Magna Carta Holy Grail was a bad album. I mean, like, not for one second, because there's only maybe one song on here that I don't care for. And depending on what I'm doing, I'll still listen to it. So, and that's the joint with Nas. Like, that was just another, like, to me, it was just another wasted Jay-Z Nas collab, right? Like, we could have got something so much better. I think then, like, a while after that, learning more about this album.
What joint was the joint with Nas?
The
I'm looking at it right now. I didn't realize he.
The BBC.
Oh yeah. He doesn't have him. Yeah. I got you. Yeah. I mean,
that's the only song that's kind of like.
I'm looking at the track list, bro, and it's like, Holy Grail was cool to me. I liked it. Picasso Baby was dope. It was a movie. Tom Ford was Tom, you know what I mean? To me, that was dope. Fuck Him, You Know I Got It, him and Ross is timeless. Oceans with Frank Ocean is literally
fire.
Like, I love that song. I think it's amazing.
Fire.
I think that one deserved the video, but this is
absolutely
a weird space with Hov, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, I picture James Bond type shit with this, you know what I'm saying? Something like that.
It would have been ill. Yeah,
and then, you know, like, I mean, and then, you know, like, I mean, that's the first
part two on the run. Beyonce smoked that shit. Like, to me, I love that song. I'm not mad if somebody skips it or if they say they don't fuck with it. That's why I said it's only one, maybe two songs on here that I can see somebody saying,
like,
I'm cool on it. You know what I mean? Out of 16,
yes.
Let me not say that, because the Tom Ford song is another one that's kind of on the cusp. Depending on the kind of mood that I'm in, I let it rock, because I think Hov pulled that type of music off. And I'm always on the side of artists trying new shit and then just trying something that's like out of the box for them. This is not the kind of music that he traditionally gives you on an entire album. But I wasn't mad at the Tom Ford song. He did a good job. He did a Jay-Z version of this genre of music that sounds kind of weird and kind of off, but I'm going to give it some flavor. Yeah, I've never thought this album was bad, though. I've never thought it was bad, because he has so many moments. And then I found out later that on Heaven, Ghostface was supposed to be on that. But I think some timing and some scheduling issues got in the way or whatever. But he said Hov sent that to him and he wanted him to get on that. but it was something else coming up. I think Ghost might have been on tour, or it was something, you know, like Ghost is moving around all the time. So yeah. He was supposed to be on that song, and he shouted out Hov because he was like, yo, you know, he knew what it was. Like, he knew to reach out to the right person, you know, that would have blessed this shit. Fuck Up the World. I remember when this dropped, this was my favorite song, period. Like, this was my favorite song out at the time. Yeah. Fuck Up the World was crazy. Then you got Nickels and Dimes, you got La Familia. Like, this album is crazy, and I won't lie. If you want to call this a great album, only because it's Jay-Z, people are apprehensive to say that. Because, like you said, he's compared to his catalog. So when you say great, you're talking about Reasonable Doubt, you're talking about Blueprint, you're talking about Volume 2, shit like that. American Gangster. Those are great albums. I love this album, and I think it's only one or two songs that I would skip. So what does that mean? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a weird... Yeah. It's a weird.
I mean, like, I'll be real. Like, I probably haven't pushed play on anything on this album in years.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
But as soon as you do, you're going to be like, oh.
Yeah, like, I mean, because there's stuff on here that I like. I don't think it's a great album because, you know, there are some songs on there that if I'm looking at it, I'm just like, eh, I'm kind of cool. Like, I not necessarily don't like the song, but it's just like, yeah, whatever. You know, but he's out of 16 tracks. I mean... I'd say eight on them Jones. I'm like, yo, like, I love that song.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I love that song. That song is amazing. So, you know what I mean? It's well done. You know, I can, you know, so to me, I think this album gets a super duper bad rap because this Hov and he was trying something different with a lot of this stuff. And if memory serves me correct, I want to say this is the album. And I don't know this to be fact, so I apologize if I'm wrong. But I want to say this is the album where he did a whole bunch of, like, fucking with, like, producers that he doesn't normally work with. Like, he went out of his way to work with a bunch of different. So, like, even with that aspect, it's different because he's not going to his safe spaces. He's trying to, you know, find himself in this new space of music, which is, you know what I mean? Yep. So. To me, it's a solid project. I ain't got no problem with it.
Yeah, no, 100%. And you got to remember, that was the era of, like, A$AP Rocky is, like, active and out and still trying to, you know, whatever, Action Bronson. And so these rappers who are, like, coming out making this kind of music, and then Jay-Z got to find a way to still be Jay-Z, do something new, and then still stand out. You know what I mean? And I think if he would have took this album down to 11 songs, I think we probably view this album differently, right? Because we can go in there and pick out five songs that, like, probably didn't need to be on there. And if he put this down to 11 songs, I think that, like, hands down, you can probably say it's a great album. I just don't know if I'm tripping on somebody right now who's a Jay-Z fan who loves this album and think it's great. Because if you love Jay-Z, you're more willing
to... I'm
not tripping on somebody saying that. Now, I wouldn't bring this up in a great album discussion. But if I'm talking to a fellow Jay-Z fan, we can have that conversation all night. I think that's the distinction. This is not like a Purple Tape where, like, you don't have to be a super Wu-Tang fan to know, like, yeah, this is that. This is what this is. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not mad at it. I'm not too mad at that. So shout out to Hov, man. Shout out to Holy Grail. Like, I'm, you know, I might take a couple of these songs off of here and then make my own 11. You know what I mean? Put my list out and let y'all decide and see, you know, see what I did. But, you know, we talked about this at the top of the show. Our mans. This is our mans from back in the day, right? So our mans from back in the day. This is Murder. P. Diddy named him Pretty. He's out here. He was in, you know, he pulled up on your guys, Gilly and Wallow. $1 million worth of game. Philly stand up. You know what I'm saying? Mace is back outside, man. He stopped through for the interview. They just had Fabio on recently, you know, and then, you know, the whole conversation came up again about signing to Mace for $5,000. And Mace hadn't spoke out about this yet. We hadn't heard Mace speak about this on a public, you know, platform. And he came out and said he had to clear his name up. You know, he had to clear his name up, man. So he, you know, we're gonna break down the, you know, the whole shit, right? He starts off with talking about what the deal actually consisted of, right? He said that they both got like 750 racks. I think he ended up with 800 because he spent 50 on Fabio up until the point where they got the deal and he needed that 50 back, right? Cool. So the whole thing about the 5,000, that's what kind of was up in the air to me. You know what I'm saying? So like we in the beginning of the interview and it's like, okay, where's the 5,000 shit coming from? Whatever. And to my understanding, it was 5,000 on some like, here you go, just to hold you down real quick. We are working towards the deal, but here you go. Fabio said he thought that 5,000 was going like take him places, and that 5,000 didn't last in 2 weeks. You know what I mean? So we at the top of the interview, we talking about this. So what's your thoughts at this point of the interview when you're listening to it and you're like, okay, what is Mace on?
I mean, the natural response is like, damn, Mace, you know, did he then, right? Like, that's fucking crazy. Like, but, you know, but then at the same time, it's like, well, it's crazy, but I mean, shit, you know, they say do unto you what was done to, you know, do to others what was done, you know, done to you or whatever. Like, I mean, it's nutty, but at the same time, like, I'm watching the interview in the beginning and I'm like, yo, something's not making sense. Betha seems off. He don't really seem like he's dancing around this five racks, right? He's not genuinely talking about the shit. And I honestly, the whole interview, he really doesn't clarify that five rack shit either. He just has so many receipts and so many things backing it up. Right. He does a very good job of deflecting the topic of the five racks and gets you to focus on the 700, the 750.
That's what I was saying. I think he gave him five just on some like, all right, this dude wants some money. He probably coming from nothing. Let me just throw him five real quick so he could just chill. Like that's what it felt like because, like you said, he didn't really concretely like, yeah, this is what this was for or whatever. So then you know, like it goes on and he's you know he calls one of his mans up and he's like, yo, let's talk about the deal. Let's do da da da. And I get it, right? I get it. Mace does a lot of things outside of music. You know, like he said, he makes a lot of money outside of music, so it's not really that important to him. That's cool. But when you step back in and then you start doing these deals, I'm probably in the minority where I feel like Mace is probably he's probably one of the better people to, or should be. You would think that somebody who got did dirty in the old era would be a good person to do business with now because they've learned. They already went through the bullshit when they came through the door. Now they've learned and they're like, all right, cool. Let me help the next artist not fall through this trap door. But in this situation, it feels like a lot of, like you said, dancing around. It's like, damn, bro, like the truth is in there somewhere. It's in there somewhere. I don't know where it is, but it's in there somewhere. So he called his man up. His man's a verifying stories, of course. Like, no nigga not going to get on the mic and be like, nah, Mace, you bugging. Nigga, like, nah.
Yeah, but I mean, in Betha's defense, he doesn't just call his homie. He calls the nigga that was the head of urban music at the time at Columbia. You know what I'm saying? Now, again, it's his man. So, you know, we all got our homie that knows how that we can call. And he or she knows how to go with the story and, you know, whatever. So, and Betha's not going to put himself in a position to call somebody who's not going to back his story. But the way they're telling the story, it sounds pretty believable. And again, he has receipts, right? Like he's showing Gil what he's talking about. You know what I'm saying? Right. And then, you know, he's got the videos, the Fabio fucking voice on it. You're like,
yeah, saying
make Fabio look real, like, yeah, wow. You know what I mean?
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here from Cinephobe. Yeah, that podcast. It's a good one. Ascertain. Telling you right now, Prize Picks, that's the way to go. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with over 3 million members. The easiest and most exciting way to play DFS is just you against the numbers. You pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. It's demon time. That's right. You're asking, what does that mean? It's demon time. I'll tell you. Demons and Goblins, the newest and most exciting way to play at Prize Picks. Squares marked with red demons or green goblins get you different payouts. You can now win up to 100 times your money with as little as 4 correct picks. That's insane. That's insane of Prize Picks to do. You know what else is insane? They offer injury insurance so that your entries stay in play, even if one of your players gets injured. For football and basketball games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, that player projection won't count against you, and the rest of your entry stays alive. PrizePicks is the only DFS platform with an injury insurance policy. And by the way, they now offer Apple Pay for quick and easy deposits into your account this football, basketball, any season you're playing. Me personally, I'm taking more than points on Joel Embiid all the time. I'm taking more than assists on Tyrese Halliburton. I'm taking less than points on Jordan Poole. Those seem to be the easy money makers for you. And you're probably wondering, Zach, how do I get involved in this? You go to prizepicks.com/ding and use code DING, D-I-N-G, for a first deposit match up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/ding. Use code DING, D-I-N-G, for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
I feel like Fabio, and I had this conversation with a couple of my homies, right? I feel like it's not so much that Fabio is lying. I think that Fabio is only going off of what he understood to be the truth. Like, I don't know if the terms of all of his shit was like thoroughly explained to him to the point where he understood everything, and now he's out here speaking, you know, like the truth. He's speaking his truth from his point of understanding. So it's like, if you sit me down and tell me, hey, I'm gonna make $700,000 off this deal, I'm going to, if I'm coming from the projects, I'm gonna think, oh mom, we about to get a house because I just got 700 racks. Now, if you don't explain that to me thoroughly, maybe you did everything right, but maybe you left me in the dark about some shit and you left me to believe things. So I don't think
it's I definitely think Bethel left them in the dark on a lot of situations. 100%. You know what I'm saying? Because even when he's describing the deal sounds shady, right? Like the whole, yo, I got control of everything, but I only got control to make sure he doesn't snake me, which we all see he was going to do. Yeah. But once it got past the point where he couldn't snake me, then I gave him back control. Like, to me, that's just he says, she says stuff. You know what I mean? There's no paperwork that can confirm that. And, right. And depending on how it's communicated, really depends on how the person views what's going on. You know what I'm saying?
100%, 100%, and I feel, and that's why I said I feel like they need to probably have a conversation now in 2022, because so much time has passed, and I don't know what their relationship is like. I would assume they're not speaking every day, not hitting each other, you know, other up on holidays and shit, and their family members' birth. I'm sure they're not doing that, but I feel like they need to have a conversation because it feels like a lot of things that went unsaid. There's some clarity that needs to be gained just to kind of clean shit up, because I think both of them could be in the right, because if you didn't tell me everything, I can only operate off of this information. So if I'm the nigga that with all the answers, I gotta come to you at some point, and we gotta meet in the middle. So just about that situation, it's still fuzzy, and I'm sure that like Fabio is probably gonna respond to that somewhere, you know what I mean, on some platform at some time. I guarantee you will. But he also went on to talk about something that I don't know if a lot of people knew this or not, right? But you know, about Jay-Z mentioning him indirectly, right? Talking about him on Imaginary Players. When he said, those ain't Rolex diamonds. The fuck you done to that? So he spoke on that line and he talked about it and he said, yeah, because when I went and got my Rolex, I went to Jacob and I said, yo, I need my shit flooded. These ain't come from Rolex, yeah, of course, but I need my shit flooded. And so that line was about him, you know? That's some ill shit to be like, yo, you was the topic of Imaginary Players, bro. Like, that's right. Pretty ill.
So the way I remembered it, so all right, obviously Mace knows more because it's him, right? But I'm gonna just speak from the hood perspective, the streets,
what we were thinking back then. And I it's kind of one of situations where it's like, damn, I wish I was in the room, or I wish I knew Gil and Wallow, or I wish I had that line so I could be like, yo, when y'all say this part, no, because that whole entire song was about that nigga, first and foremost, right? The whole song was about him, because everybody kind of knew that there was a beef there, or there was rumblings of it, because, and I and Betha did a hell of a job. Like, I think I even quote tweeted it, right? Because I like when you put it out there, it was like, yo, the clip, I responded, I'm like, yo, I think this dude's misremembering. Cause he's out here trying to say that he didn't know, like, oh, this is the reason why, you know. And so I looked up the dates, and I believe Harlem World comes out maybe a couple weeks prior to Volume 1. Right? On Harlem World, he has a song called Niggas Wanna Act. He has the bar in there where he says, don't really fuck with Dame, but still I cop Jigga, right? Now, the people can go, oh, well, he wasn't talking about Jay-Z, but you got to think right now at this point in time, this is Hov's mans. The same way Cam, who had nothing to do with the Nas and them battle, heard him talk about his mans and said, hold up, I'm inserted in this. I firmly always believe that this is the point where Hov said, hold on, right? And then the part that Mace is talking about happens, right? Like, because, like, and this is why I fool, not this is why, because I hate that, because it has nothing to do with why I fool with Jay-Z, but Hov has always shown Mace respect as what he was, right? For anybody who does not know, excuse me, I'm on my soapbox, but anybody who does not know, Mace and Betha was literally the hottest motherfucker out at the time. I'm talking That's about Nas is out.
Yep.
I'm talking about Hov is out. Mm-hmm. Big is no longer with us. You know what I'm saying? Like, his album comes out, I believe, after Big Pass, if memory serves me correct, right? But, like, I'm just painting a picture. X is out.
Yep.
This is who's out in the streets.
Yep.
Mace dropped Harlem World. First of all, Mace took the game over ASAP. When, like,
yeah.
I remember hearing him on the Only You remix, and although yep. Big killed it, I said, yo, who's this dude?
Everybody did. And I think everybody stopped then, and was like, wait a minute, they got another one.
And then you get hit with the Best of Murder Mace mixtapes and all that type of stuff that's coming out, right?
Straight from Money
Mace. Smashing everything yeah. he's on, bro. Yeah. Everything he's on.
Absolutely.
And then he drops the album, and the album is amazing.
And he got X on the album.
Like you got to paint the picture even better for people who really weren't outside at that point in time or even alive. For those that remember when Drake's hype, how the hype was for Drake, that's the hype Mace had, but just in a non-internet era, a non-social media era, it was word of mouth era. It was I just cop Bad Boys mixtape volume whatever, and this dude just killed this. Or yo, I just heard the Children of the Corn, and who's this boy? Yeah, like absolutely. Yo, right? Like, this is who Mace was, and mm-hmm. so like, Mace drops the most amazing album ever, and like, he's the biggest nigga in the game at this point in time. Mace isn't fronting when he's saying that, right? Like, this is Mace.
That's a fact.
But yeah. Hov was still Hov. Right,
Hov was definitely still Hov, and that's
like, the part. Like, the bars were always there, right?
Yeah.
Hov has the respect of everyone, but like, sales wise, Hov didn't do the number. Everyone knows they didn't really appreciate the first one till the second one came out, right? Like, that's the so like the numbers weren't there. He drops Sorry, he drops imaginary player a couple weeks later after that bar and after the other bar that Mace is talking about on the album, right? Mm-hmm. And then it's just on. It's on and popping, bro. It's a lot of subliminal. Like I know everybody thinks there was a lot of subliminals being thrown at Mace if you go back and listen to a lot of whole stuff around that time. Yeah. The entire imaginary player was about ball. Like, your stick was 99 cents, mine was $4.
But even the bars leading up to the Rolex Diamond shit, you got to think how he started that verse off. Now you got these young cats acting like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he makes like a young dude. All the dumb raps talking about how they fun stuff. Now here's the part. Here's the little part right here. When I see him in the streets, I don't see none of that.
Damn, Playboy.
Where's all the ice with the platinum under that?
Platinum under that.
That's what Bad Boy was in
Rolex like, diamonds, nigga. What the fuck you done to that?
So Mace had to clear it up and say, wait a minute now. Because Jay-Z would have you believe that, like, it was just some foggy, cloudy bullshit in his watch. He's just saying, bro, that's not Rolex diamonds. What did you do to that?
Right. And Mace clarified it.
He clarified it 100%. But
and Mace set a trend.
I was just about to ask you this. So I want to ask you now, looking in 2022, how rapper's jury is now, when you look back at that line with Jay-Z saying, those ain't Rolex diamonds, the fuck you done of that, hearing Mace's reply to it, do you feel like the sting of that bar is like, you know what I mean? Like, is it a little less because he started some shit? He was ahead of his time? It's not?
No, not one bit. Because first and foremost, like Wallow and Gil said, like, this is
a legendary bar, nigga.
It's a legendary bar that, like, people can say in everyday life type situations, and you'll understand what they're trying to say, right? So, like, first and foremost, when you have a top, I'm not saying it is, but just the magnitude, a Mount Rushmore of bars in hip hop, and it's done about you, right? And I don't care how factual it was or wasn't, right? But at the same time, that part's not factual, right? Or that part can be explained. But the everyone in the industry, May said, everyone in the industry knew what Puff was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So Hov saying, you know, when I see you in the streets, I don't see none of that. Damn, Playboy, what the fuck is the hum at? Where's all the platinum? Where's all the ice? All the platinum under that? Like, so every one of those lines is coming at Mace. Not on the watch. It's coming at Mace like, yo, dog, I know you're not getting, like, here you go. Dame knows the situation. You know what I'm saying? Dame's telling me the situation.
This ain't
that, yo. So, like,
and Hov was flying with Cam at a certain point back then too, so I'm sure Cam was probably letting, you know what I'm saying, I'm sure, because him and Mace had kind of, you know what I mean. So yes, 100%. That with that being kind of just like out here, you got to remember too, the very next year, Jay-Z told him, "Check your own video. You'll always be number two.
Always be number two."
He just got done telling you that when I see you in the streets, I know what they doing to you over there, but I don't see that shit when I see you. And then now he fast forward and was like, you remember what I just told you last year about how that shit ain't really yours? Go check your own video, nigga. You wearing the number two jersey.
Number two jersey.
Not the number one. You got the number two jersey on.
Fam, when I heard check your own videos, you always be number two, I said, excuse me?
Them dances ain't look the same no more. Them little jiggy dances didn't look the same when you see that big two on the back of that leather jersey. And I know that leather jersey was hot as fuck too. And you win like two.
Yo, you know, to put it in a modern time of what the today's hip hop fans would to better understand, it would be very similar to Push and Wayne's situation, right? Where Wayne was acting as if it was a certain way because we just assumed it had to be that way. right? And we're less educated as hip hop fans at this point in time in life, too.
That's true.
I got to make that clear, right? Yeah. We're very much, if we see it, we just automatically think it's, you know, you got it. Yeah, it's and real. It's different yeah. now, right? Mm-hmm. Well, actually, no, not really, but it should, to us,
a little,
it's different.
A little. Yeah,
to
yeah.
the kids,
yeah.
it's not different, right? They believe everything. But, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's, fam, like, it's just like, you hear that bar, and then, well, I'm telling you, it was just relentless,
yeah.
nonstop coming at him. I was at, I want to say it was, and this is pre-cell phones number one, so definitely recording yeah. shit at shows, right? Like, yeah. believe it or not, there was a time you went to concerts, and you just had the people yeah. you came with, right? Like,
only stories you have was that you can remember. That was it. Nothing right. you recorded. Yeah.
So I want to say it was the Heart. It was either the Heart. It might have been the Heart Not Life tour.
Okay.
Or the Rockefeller Rough Rider tour. One of them two. Okay. I don't remember which one it was. But I'll say X closed out the show. Okay. Right. So okay. whatever that show that was.
Hard Not Life then, because I think
Hov was right before X.
Yeah.
Okay. So Hov kicks a freestyle, and when I tell you, bro, about when I tell you, fam, he kicked a freestyle because hold on, no, I want to give you the correct show because it was two shows I'm thinking about. No, this must be a powerhouse because
X didn't close.
I went to a different one because the one I'm thinking about is when Hov brought Beans out, and this is two different eras, right?
Okay,
I believe
okay,
this
okay,
is cool, a powerhouse cool. I went to, right? Which is cool. at the time was Philly's main show, and this is one of the. This is during this era. Hov yeah. kicked a freestyle. This might have been the first concert I'd ever been to in my life on some real shit. Hov kicked a freestyle, and it was clear as day he was talking about Mace. Clear as day. Now, I can't confirm if it's so long ago. I don't remember the bars. If those bars were then said bars that were in check your own video, you always be number two, because you know everyone at this point in time used to take their mixtape, which was very annoying. Mace did it with the Best of Murder Mace.
Oh yeah
also
yeah, for sure.
But like this is an era where it was very annoying because everyone, you would have heard everyone's album already because all they did was take the mixtape stuff and then put and then it was very a lot of times yeah, yeah. it would be trash because the mixtape stuff really wasn't for this. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So like, yep. but my point was Hov kicked the verse and I was just like, wow, yo, he's killing this. Like, and yeah. I liked Mace, dog. Like I yeah, really yeah, liked him. And I wasn't a diehard Hov fan at this point in time in my life. I'm gonna keep yeah. it all the way real. Like I'm becoming this is part of the shit that's making yeah. me become like yeah. a Hov fan. Like gotcha. I'm like, yo, he's killing this dude. And this is, again, this is the hottest dude in the game, fam. Yeah. It's yeah. crazy.
Nah, dead ass though. And what you're saying is important because nothing was promised to anybody at that time because it was all about like, what are you gonna do to stay here? Fuck standing out. You stood out, cool.
Big,
what are you
big gonna head do? Just stay passed here? Not too long before big, all this just, happened. Absolutely. The number one spot is open.
The number one spot is open. And again, we talk about volume two again. You got Jay-Z with The City Is Mine. A lot of people didn't like it because they thought the message he was sending was like kind of arrogant and like, but I mean,
we know it was. And then Nas came back on the
let the niggas know one thing. It could only be one kid. Like he was talking crazy. Like, hey, listen, man. Like, yeah, not
bro.
You know,
Nas came back with what album was that? Was it? Oh my God, yeah, man, the drone where he was talking about you got these fake kings claiming the throne. Like,
mm-hmm. yeah.
That's where.
Yeah.
To the city, like yo,
absolutely, absolutely.
This,
yeah, so
come
you
on,
so you gotta remember,
this was a time.
So Jay-Z is dead in the middle of all of this going on. The yes. hottest nigga. You got Nas, who is like the second coming of Rakim and Christ combined.
Just and came Jay-Z's off of at this here. Point in time. What everyone is at this point in time in life is calling yeah. the greatest hip hop album greatest, ever.
Yeah, absolutely,
ever.
And they're living by that. Like to this day, even you know that's what it is. So
yeah.
Jay-Z had to survive all of that. While being like, look, these niggas are coming at me. Like, I still gotta hold it down. Like, I still gotta hold. It's only me. It's only me against all these niggas, and they hot.
I don't have state property yet. I don't have yeah, beans yet. It's literally yet. Just
it's me
and Bleak.
Bigs and them niggas don't rap. Yeah, right.
And I got Bleak. Right. And I'm not sending Bleak the war.
And Sauce Money gonna come through when I need him. Sauce Money gonna pull up when I need him. And
Sauce, motherfucker.
Yeah, Sauce, shout out to Sauce. We are huge Sauce Money fans on this show, if you didn't know. So around that era, right? Like, you got Mace, you got the Jay-Z shit, and he had to give it up. Jay-Z's one of those people where I can't give you like credit for like calling Hov the GOAT, no matter what y'all been through, because you gotta say that. Like, what are you gonna say? He's not. You're gonna sound like a hater. It's Hov. Like, it is what it is. So I just thought that was interesting, like that little conversation. But the part that stood out to me the most is when he talked about what his real gripe with Diddy was. Right, like, we all knew the contract shit, we all knew whatever, but what I didn't know was that he allegedly, there were guys who ran up on his vehicle, pulled firearms on him. He saw these dudes later at the studio with Puff. So in his head, he's like, yo, what's going on? Like, you already kind of playing me, little bro-ing me on some, like, you know, we ain't gonna pay you nothing on the tour. This is promo shit, but it's the biggest shit. You the headliner, but you don't really know. I'm pulling the wool over you, and now I got dudes at the studio with me who just tried to do something to you. So Mace
in the act,
like,
in the add context to that, real quick, mm-hmm. The add context. Keep in mind, we're heavy in the rumors of Big and Pocket at this point in time, too, in mm-hmm. our lives. Mm-hmm. We're heavy into the rumors of whatever the conspiracies and all that stuff. Right. And those that don't remember, Puff's name was heavily mentioned
absolutely.
A lot of times.
Absolutely. Like, to this day, you can find a story probably where somebody's like implicating him in this. So Mace in his head, he's like, yo, number one, is that shit true? And is that shit about to be MA Dollar? I don't know. So he's feeling some kind of way, but you still got a job to do. You still got to pull up to the studio. You still got to come write these songs. And he was saying, when Puff was out there popping that champagne and going to the club and shit like that, I was in the studio writing these songs and these hooks and telling, you know, Stevie J to do the beat like this and blah, blah, blah. So he felt disrespected. So for him, when he sees Puff calling himself Brother Love and shit like that, he's like, oh, nah. I can't fuck with that, because I remember what happened back in the 90s. So I thought that was interesting. I never knew this part of the, you know what I mean? Like, of him and Puff. I just thought it was the money. Yeah. I thought he felt slighted, and I was like, yeah, I get it. But I never knew it was this. This kind of opened my eyes up a little bit, and I was like, oh, okay, I got you.
The whole him and Puff thing is real confusing to me, because I swear there was a video that surfaced a couple years ago of Puff being in some radio station and Mace coming through and giving him some paperwork and Puff signing to John and Mace dapping him up, and the streets were led to believe that Mace got his publishing back. And then Betha says in this interview, he doesn't have his publishing. He just got it from Sony. And so, like, it's super duper, like, I said that, I gave that example to say, I don't take everything he said as the gospel, right?
No pun intended.
If he, you know, listen, if this man says this is what happened, I wasn't there. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? And I wouldn't put it past anybody, especially not somebody who's knee deep in the rap game and is pulling strings. And we all know that the rap game at this point in time, the streets are heavily involved, and absolutely. Your family's not, your family was one rock throw away from being in it or whatever, or being 100%. In it or whatever, you know what I'm saying? So I don't put any of that past. From what I thought I knew or what I thought was reported a lot of times, I just feel like there were a few inconsistencies in what he was saying, but you know, that's wild, right? Like, that's crazy.
No, it really is.
I wouldn't fool with Puff either if I felt that.
Yeah, but like you said, over the years, like we just talked about this. They just performed together, recently. You know what I mean? Like, not him and Mace. But just like ex-Bad Boy people linking back up with Puff, like it was Shine that we talked about that like before with him. But what you were saying, I think we talked about that story before of Mace pulling up to the studio to Puff, and it seemed like things were good, or like as good as they could be or whatever. So it's like, damn, when we hear these stories about Puff, but we see like a Bad Boy reunion tour, and then we see these videos of people over time that used to be with Bad Boy that had serious gripes, and they kind of dap it up with Puff. It's like, oh, okay, well maybe. Well, we weren't there, so maybe we just got that part of it, and maybe shit wasn't all that bad.
Except for the locks.
Yeah. Right, no,
except absolutely. For the locks.
That was very
public. They were rather consistent until the day.
At every step of the way, we knew exactly what was going on. Exactly what was going on. So that's a little different. Them some Yonkers niggas. So it's gonna go a little different with some Yonkers niggas. Shout out to them. Shout out to Poops. But then, you know, then also he talked about how his relationship with Cam, right? His Cam and Jim, Dame and all that or whatever. You know, he said him and Dame used to always be almost about the fight and shit like that, right? And you like niggas know you come from the hood. It's probably gonna be somebody around that's like that. Where you like, I don't know if this nigga playing with me or you trying to play me. You might have to knuckle up. Let me see what the temperature is. You know, like this. So I feel like that was him and Dame,
especially the type of person Dame appears to be. And Mace isn't that type of person.
Yeah, Mace is a guy who comes off as like, yo, chill out, my nigga. Like he gonna tell you to chill. And when you see him, and Dame is a nigga that's like, chill. Oh, you sensitive? Oh, I'm really about to get on you. So that was interesting. But he admitted that the only relationship he regretted, kind of, you know, getting fucked up, was him and Cam. And I can understand that because they played basketball together. They grew up together. You know, he used to wear Cam shoes and, you know, this person's clothes and this person's hat. So I can understand, like, why he, you know, felt that way. That's why over the years I felt like that was one of those dramas that was like, damn, I wish I didn't do that. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, I wish I didn't do that because I remember that era of rap when y'all niggas came out. And it's like, damn, I wish I was good, man.
I wish they would have went a little bit into that because, again, inconsistencies on stuff that Betha has said over the years. His original thing was they fell out because Cam said he wanted me to pay him to be in the horse and carriage video. Now, this is where communication gets messed up. Mace says he wanted him to pay him, but he was like, I wanted him to pay me because I know that they had this money set aside and it's not coming out of his pocket. Yeah. Now, with that information being known, because they both have said that, it puts a little bit more into context of how they fell out with the money or whatever. Right. But again, I don't feel like Mace took any ownership on it. He made it just seem like it was all a misunderstanding. But nah, like I think Mace played a heavy part in that. Yeah, like, absolutely. You know what I mean? Whether it's not communicating it properly or, yo, if Mace is getting screwed over here by Puff or his Brett and he knows how this works now because he's been in a little bit and he knows that money's there, you know what I mean? He wants that bread, but he probably didn't come across it the right way.
I think what he did was he felt like he was, you know how like if you see somebody that's like getting picked on over here. So the next time they see anybody, they going to get it. Like the next person they see, they going to get it because I couldn't take my anger out over here. So with him, he like, yo, they playing me over here. I'm about to play the game too. Yo, I need X amount of $1,000 to be in a video. Yeah. Probably like, yo, my nigga, you like, what you mean? Like this the guys, what you talking about? I think Mace probably could have explained that better and said, hey, Cam, listen, I'm not charging you. I need you to tell them I need this because they're going to give it to me and you're not going to be affected. But again, that goes back to what we talked about in 2022 or 2018 or whenever his relationship with Fabio began. It's not explaining shit the way it's supposed to be explained. So you have one side telling their truth and you got the real truth mixed in there somewhere because the other person understands something completely different. They both were newcomers to the game, him and Cam. And it's like, bro, you can tell me that. You don't have to come and tell me, try to own some snake shit. Just tell me, put me to the side. Yo, Cam, tell the label I need 30. Tell them I need 20, whatever. I know they're going to give it to you. You're going to be straight. But when you don't say that and you just say, yo, if I get a new gig and I say, yo, Jerv, I'm, yo, 10 racks, man. 10 racks, you want me on it. Nigga be like, yo, nigga, huh? Like, what you mean? Like, nah, I got to explain. Like, you have to really break this shit down, bro. Like, it's not, you can't assume people know what the fuck is going on. So, like you said, he said that they kind of fell out because he was fronting like he had a lot of money and he didn't. And Cam and them was like, oh, you ain't look out for the guys. And it's like, bro, maybe some of that is true, but that's not the reason shit went left. It was the horse and carriage. Like, come on. We know. We heard that story for 20 years. Like,
right. And I also think, so Mace's response to, of course, Cam was very respectful. Right, in every aspect of talking about Cam, anything they asked, even when he said he beat Cam in ball and he was better, He still was very respectful to Cam.
Calling him killer. Yeah.
Right. Now, they ask about Jimmy. He's respectful, but he's leaving a lot of room for whatever, right? So my theory on that is, yo, he just didn't want to get aired out because, like, he knows if he says something about Cam, like, yo, Cam's going to destroy him on the internet, and Mace is not going to win. Like, look at Mace right now with the, yo, like, he's not even, like, he's not even doing this Favio thing right, like. Like, as far as like the little videos he's posting, like, yo, if that's all you got, bro, like, Cam would destroy homie, right? Listen. So, like, I just honestly truly think he does not want any. He even says he wants no smoke with Cam. I think he said anybody else, they don't want the smoke. Cam, that's my guy. I thought Jim was going to call up there again like he did back in Hot 97.
Yeah, he spoke on that. He said, I think he said that's the last time they spoke, I want to say. No. He saw Jim and it was love. He said, when I see him, it's love.
He said, every time I see Jim, it's love. But everyone just remembers the Hot 97 interview.
Okay, yeah, copy, yeah.
And he was like, oh, you know, I was so chill and I was so like, wow. Yeah. And I'm just like, yeah, bro, but like, I was there during this era of fam.
It was nasty in Harlem for Mace around that time too, like on some personal shit.
It was a lot of, yo, like, bro, I ain't got no business speaking on that. No, but like, fam, let's not act like Jimmy was just talking some tough stuff to you. No, Jimmy was out here saying some stuff that you was, and you was more so like, all right, I need to get out of here, tight Joan. Like, let's, if we go tell the story, we got to tell the story, fam. Absolutely. You know what I'm saying?
Pretty important.
And I just listened to that joint. So, like, that joint is fresh in my mind. Fresh. Like, I still had that joint saved to my email. Like,
I believe it. That's a classic moment.
Never going to not have that.
Nigga said, I will do it to you, dude.
Yo, what?
Quarter billion boys, you heard?
The wolves. Yo, the wolves is out here, boy. Yo, Beth, I know you not. Yo, you know who you talk. Yo, and then a whole bunch of slang and things that Jimmy, I don't even know what it means, so I don't even want to say it. And they just like, yo, Jimmy. He's like, no, Beth, know what it is. And a whole bunch of slang again.
You hear his mate, Jim. What do you? Jim,
why are you so mad?
Like, what do you mean? And he's like,
wow.
He's like, yo, it's not.
Wow. No, murder, that sounds like you need to get out of here, bro.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
you need to go lay low down south.
Yeah. Man, I thought this interview was good because with Gillian Wallow, it's hit or miss depending on how well they know the guests, because they know a lot of their guests well, but then sometimes they'll just fall into super homeboy mode. And it'll be like, this ain't an interview no more. We just kicking in and smoking. You know what I'm saying? But this one I thought was good. Like you said, I did kind of want them to talk a little bit more about certain things, but I get it. The Favio shit is hot right now. They had to take up a good portion of it with that. I understand. I am glad that he kind of spoke on the Cam shit, because it's easy to see Mason think about the Oracle disc where he's talking about Cam all crazy and shit. You know what I mean? So to hear him talk about that and update that in 2022 and say no, smoke with everybody except him. That's cool. That was cool. It was a good interview. It was funny, I'll say that, because you don't really get a chance to listen to Mace talk like a lot. And I still listen to all of Mace's old shit. So to hear him now talking about this shit is just it's just funny to me to hear him talk about this shit now. You know what I mean? Like,
and honestly, man, I one thing I just want to make clear, and Mace said it. You know, Gilly said the reason everybody don't fool Mace is because Mace was tagging all they girls and stuff, which I believe, right? Like, I believe.
He said it, but just falling on like they saw Michael Jackson. Like,
I believe this is how popping Mace had it. Mace was Drake, but like more talented as far as rapping wise than Drake. Like, right, like 100%.
Mace was one of them niggas. Mace was like everybody's cool, like depending on what age group you're in, right? Like, I'm a little younger, so. He felt like our cool older cousin, the one that'll put you up on the new cologne or the new, you know, the shoes or, you know, spray so much Izzy. Girls get this. It's like, we got to get that. You know what I'm saying? We got to do this or whatever. So it's like Mace was one of those.
He just needs his flowers, man.
He was a way cooler dude, I think, overall than what the general consensus of Drake is in that comparison. Like, everybody thought Mace was cool. Everybody.
Right.
It was, he was just a cool, he had the waves. It just was what it was.
Mace was cool until Mace was not cool. Like, his decline went real. It was like he was cool on Monday, and then Tuesday he wasn't cool no more because a lot happened.
And his come up was that fast as well. So, like, I feel like that's kind of the same, you know what I mean? Like, you get in the game the same way you got in, because he got his deal very quick. So it was going quick too. He always say this. He's like the rap Penny Hardaway. He did enough to be on the Hall of Fame ballot, like, to a certain group of people who were there, but it happened so quick that it's kind of like there's not enough longevity there for me to kind of put you, you know what I'm saying? He's in the Hall of Fame for us, like, for the hood, for the culture. But overall, the stats ain't there because it's just not, you didn't do it at a high enough level for that long. So that's the comparison I always make when it comes to Mace.
And I'm not mad at that. I just want everybody just to understand. You gotta put some respect on that man's name.
Oh yeah, no, 100%.
You know what I mean? And you know,
leather suits aside, he got some red leather outfit on right now. That's crazy.
He was very Harlemish. He was very Harlem.
Yeah,
which is why, again, I don't want Cam. I'm glad he didn't get this, because Cam would have lit him up already. Like, it'd be like, man, skits and shit already.
Yeah, that would have been bad. That would have been, as soon as you saw Cam post something on his IG story saying, "I'm going live tonight at 10 p.m. that would have been like, "Yep, I know what I'm doing tonight. I know what he's gonna talk about. Let's see what's going on with Killer." It was a good interview. Yeah, absolutely. Damn, you know what? Who would Mace? That's a pretty decent question. Who do you think could see Mace in, or would want to see Mace in a versus? Who'd you put next to Mace? Could Mace do a versus? You think Mace got 20? Including the mixtape shit, I would have to say yes. Like, if you have to include everything.
Based off of what the Locks did, Mace would have to come like that, right?
With,
like,
the street shit, yeah.
With the street shit. Because if he doesn't come with the street shit, I don't think he has, off the top of my head. Like, he's got, I'm not saying he doesn't have 20 songs that I like. I'm saying he doesn't have 20 that are verses. He would basically go up and play half of Harlem World and then a whole bunch of features he was on. So, you know what I mean? I don't think he could do a versus unless he did a versus against somebody who technically would not be putting respect on his name as who he was as an artist.
Got you. So, I'm trying to think what... Because
couldn't still be have a Cam or anything like that. Because Cam's got way too many.
Yeah, Cam will burn him. I think Cam will burn him crazy. It would, like you said, it would have to be somebody who legitimately just, like, called him out on some shit. Like, yo, he wasn't really, and he's like, all right, cool. Well, give me 20, and I'm gonna put you at 20. Because we still haven't got the Memphis Bleek and Joel's versus yet. Which,
bro, looks we're like not getting not that, happen. Joel. they saw what the streets were saying. It was like, nah, we're not gonna put this one out. The numbers would have been disrespectful on that.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. That might have been the. I'm not even gonna say might have been. I think you're 100% right. I think the return of attention on it is like, it's only like 93 niggas that like want to watch this. You know what I'm saying? 93 and 79 of them niggas is not gonna pay a dollar to see it. So, you know what I mean? You do the math on that. So it's like, you know, I told you before. If it's $40, I'm going. $41, I'm staying home. You know what I mean? That's where I'm at with it.
And I told you I was going to be right there on IG Live with it. I'm not paying a dime for that.
Yeah, man. I'm happy to hear, you know, this interview. You know, it was a entertaining interview, if nothing else. You know what I mean? With Mace talking this shit and all that. So, yeah, man, I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at that at all, man. Shout out to Mace. Shit. If he drops an album, if he says he got an album coming out this year, are you checking for it?
No.
Short answer, no. Long answer, no. Hell no.
No. I'm mad to hear the streets gonna have to tell me about that, John. I'm not trying to hear somebody who's,
that's one of them joints you're gonna be like, I'll take your word for it. Like,
his last good project was in 97. Like,
whoa, slow down, my boy. That 10 years of hate tape is, I'm biased though, so it's whatever. I'm biased. That tape is crazy. That tape is crazy, my nigga. Oh my god.
I'm not saying it was crazy.
You ain't fuck with Welcome Back? The Mr. Rogers shit? What?
Come on, bro. I ain't fuck with none of that G.
I ain't gonna lie, bro. When he came back with the hat bent up I was like, damn, Murder, like, you used to be a fly nigga, man. That shit, like, you just got that from under the car seat. Like, that's kind of crazy.
That's why I seen him in that red outfit he had on. I'm like,
with the husky pockets in the front.
He looked like the boy that just came home and is still trapped in when he went in.
Oh, man.
Because that was a very Harlem. I mean, can be having some wild stuff on too, but it'd be wild stuff, but it'd be what people are wearing now. Wild stuff. Mace just had straight, like, Murder. That was
he just had the whole Twizzler outfit on, like the whole joint. And yeah,
I think his kicks was even all red. This is like,
yeah, he had the Yeezys. He said I got my Yeezys from Yeezy, nigga.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's what's up. Yeah. Yeezy sends a lot of.
He Yeezys up there dressed like Antonio Brown. When I think about it, AB was just dressed like that with the do your dance, AB. Do your put that shit on. He got to put that shit on outfit, man. And you know who AB Mans is? Is Yay. So bring this shit full circle. Come on, man. Get all revolve around Yay, bro.
Oh God, not Yay.
Yeah, man. This was fun, man. This was fun. Shout out to Mace. Listen. Continue to rate us, subscribe, review, leave us 5 stars, tell a friend to tell a friend, man. Until next time, we out, man.